This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... I was afraid that side was going to overwhelm everyone, but you did a great job, so thank you. Yes, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. As we face day to day, we must make a choice to rejoice and be glad in it. I want us to remember Philip Bellflower and his family at the loss of his father. Philip's father passed away. And so we just want to think of them and lift them up in prayer, if you would, as they deal with things over the next coming days and weeks and months as that happens. But as Philip said, man, he's got a homecoming reunion. It's like no other. And he's now in the presence of Jesus Christ, walking and talking with him. And we can rejoice in that. Amen. Well, in the past, as we've come across the new year, we've talked about different things. I remember doing a message series on running your race and running the marathon or the sprint or whatever race it is that you're in and running your race. I can remember talking about having a fresh start and getting the jump start. And we talked about being intentional. And that's all good. And we want to do the same thing. How to get from point A to C. Not A to B. A to C, the beginning and the end. And we tend to leave out B, which is how we get from A to C. Where we are, where we want to be. And we've talked about the path to get there. Today, we want to do the same thing. We want to look at our plan and say, what do we do today? And today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 2. It's a very familiar one, and it's from in verses 40 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 47. And Jesus has died, he was buried, he's been resurrected, and he ascended into heaven. Now, the disciples are all meeting saying, what do we do? And they have reminders of the fact that Jesus said, do this when I'm gone. Continue to do this. And in this passage, he says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now let me stop right there. We're going to have a baptism at the end of service today, and that's so exciting. I remember last year at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, on January 1st, we baptized Gwendolyn, Mandolin, and Skylar. And today we're going to baptize Aaron, one of our Ground Zero youth. And what a great way, there's Aaron, what a great way to start off the new year with baptisms. Amen? I love it even more when it's youth. That shows that they're building that path. And I heard on the radio yesterday, I believe, maybe the day before, but on Caleb, they said the years that people's morale and their moral compass are focused are pretty much set by the time they are 10 years old. Those of us teaching the younger children down that hallway, we have a lot of work to do to make sure we're helping them set their moral compass. Amen? And it goes on to say, after they talked about the baptism and the 3,000 souls that were added to them, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And that's what we're going to focus on today. But it says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now listen to this as we close this scripture out. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And that's the way we want to start off the new year. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the word of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So we're talking about them continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Those four areas are so vital to us as Christians, to the church, so that we can grow as Christians, the church can grow, so that we can tell other people about Jesus Christ. In that scripture, we looked at those four areas. We want to do those. So turn in your Bibles now to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And we won't read everything in there, but there's some good things that we want to pull out of there. And the way Jesus led his life and what he did during his day-to-day activities. As you're turning to John 17, Jesus prayed many different ways and in many different places. There was a group, and he went off in private and prayed. Pastor Eric and I go off in private and pray for each other before service every Sunday. Today he's not here. I prayed for myself. We have prayer meeting in the pastor's study every Sunday morning. But Eric and I pray for each other before we preach. We go off in private and do that. Jesus went off in private to pray. Jesus did it in public. Did it out in front of other people. He did it at meals. He did it over healing. He did it over life and death. He did it over important decisions. And I'm amazed at the number of important decisions we can make day to day based on our emotions, based on our friends, based on whatever. And we think, man, we've got these important decisions, life-changing sometimes, or not life-changing, Jesus Christ does that, but I'm talking about altering our day-to-day life sometimes. And sometimes we don't consult our spouse or our family, let alone our Savior, Jesus Christ. But he gives us great opportunity and great examples of how and when to pray. Different areas to pray over. You know, we prayed last Wednesday night over our Sunday school classes and over the teachers of those classes. The youth were in here. By the way, Ground Zero, great job putting up Christmas decor and taking down Christmas decor. They did that. Let's give them a hand if you would. There were a lot of people here last Wednesday taking this stuff down, and it was just amazing to watch and see them. And I just appreciate what they do, and with great attitudes. And by the way, they helped also haul some of that furniture out of that glass room that was a little bit past its time, shall we say. But we were able to bless someone with that had no furniture, and I'm thankful to be able to do that. So we have opportunity to pray over different situations, different people, and in different ways. As we start 2018, we want to look at these four areas: study, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. Now, prayer to me starts with the individual. We can look at these things and say, hey, the study, I've said this time and time again, but I am so thankful for our Sunday school classes and the teachers of those classes that meet and teach and help us to not only learn it, but to understand it, how to use it, how to apply it. That's on Sunday mornings. And then on Wednesdays, we have our teachers again that teach from our nursery to our young kids, the King's Kids, the Ground Zero, the adult Bible studies. What another opportunity to grow and learn. And then we have our connect groups. If you're not part of a connect group, you think, I don't know, check it out. Check it out if you haven't. Because that, to me, man, that is a pivotal time for me to grow. I'm in one, I don't lead one, I'm in one and get to get fed. And what that does for me is allow me to explore God's Word more intimately with different people, and share things that we may not feel comfortable sharing in a larger group. So we have opportunity to study. And then fellowship through those classes. And fellowship on Wednesday night in our meal. And fellowship in here. Your attendance here isn't so that Lori doesn't have to check off less names of who's not here and send out a card and say, we miss you. It's for fellowship and growth and to say, man, I'm glad you're here today. Thank you for visiting with us today. Thank you for being here. Teens, I know sometimes you don't have a choice to be here or not. Either someone's making you or they're not taking you. And so that goes both ways, and I know that. And when I see our teens here, I'm so thankful to see that. And then breaking of bread. And it told us back there, let me get to it real quick. So in verse 46 of Acts 2, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness." Now, that isn't always just saying, no, they're talking specifically about the Lord's table. They're talking about eating with each other, breaking bread, spending time with one another. Spend time with one another. A few minutes. And I get that sometimes we don't agree with people and we don't align with people, but at least get to know them and have fellowship and break bread with someone. I've traveled a lot over the years. Not great places, just traveled a lot. And one of the best steaks I ever ate was down in Houston, Texas. It was my second best steak. The shame of it all, I was by myself. Eating this wonderful steak by myself. That's no fun. And I get sometimes when we travel, we have to do that. And some of you have, but it's no fun. You offering to break bread with somebody else may be helping them in a time. And then prayer. And prayer is where we are today. And that's what we want to talk about today. We started this past Wednesday, starting point in our Wednesday night Bible study. If you've been around a long time, maybe you've been through our starting point program. It's aimed really towards new people to understand our church, our doctrine, what the Bible says about what we do, why we do what we do. But it talks a lot also about what the Bible, what God really calls us to be and what God calls us to do. And I put a big highlight on my paper because those are two very separate and distinct things. Let me give you an example. This God's Word here, this Bible, tells us we're to be this way and we're to do this. Okay, great. I'm doing His work, but I'm doing it with a very poor attitude. That doesn't line up with His will. And it doesn't line up completely with His Word. Well, He says to do this, and I'm doing it. Can you get off my back, Adam? I'm doing it. Yeah, but I'm sure there's somewhere in there about your attitude. And do this and this without grumbling, without complaining, without whining. And they, in my version, they use those specific words. So that doesn't line up if we're doing, but our being doesn't line up with that. Then the flip side is, hey, I'm being patient. I'm being humble. I'm being joyful. I'm being all these great things. But I'm not doing anything to help. I'm not serving anyone. I'm not doing that. I'm just being. But I'm being good. Being good, He says, I still want you to do things. You're to serve one another. You're to do things in the kingdom to help them. It doesn't line up with His will for us if we're only doing one and not the other. Now be careful of that. Martha, Martha, and Mary, and you're doing this and you're not doing that. Be careful of all those things. He calls us to do multiple things and to be multiple things. It takes all of us doing His work and being His workmanship. Just a side note, relationships oftentimes struggle when one or the other is just being but not doing, or one is just doing but not being. There's some good balance to be had in there, and I get that. But that's where there's trouble. Those of you that just are being, try a little more doing. Those of you that are just doing, 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 try just being. Try slowing down just a little bit and sit at the feet of Jesus. And those of you that are just sitting there at the feet of Jesus, get up and do something every now and then to help those that are running around taking care of Jesus. It goes hand in hand. Doing and being together are necessary for us. So in John 17, we read in verse 1 through 5, where Jesus is praying for himself. And in verse 3 he says, "And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Philip, I thought of your father when I was studying this last night and this morning again, as I was going over this. "I have finished the work which you have given me to do." And he says, "Man, now glorify me together with you, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." And Jesus takes time to pray for himself. And we have to take time to pray for ourselves. That's not selfish. It's biblical. We don't want to call Jesus selfish, but he's praying for himself here. And then Jesus takes time in verses 6 through 19, and he prays for his disciples. And there's a couple different things I want to read in here. We could go, again, many different directions, but there's just a couple points I want to bring out. He's praying over his disciples, praying to his Father. And he says in verse 9, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." It says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you've gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." But it says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them. Listen carefully. I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but I pray that you should keep them from who? The evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But listen to verse 17. It says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." So many times, we desire for God to remove us from situations. Thinking, man, even Jesus said, "God, I don't want you to remove them from the world. Don't take them out to protect them. Leave them there, but I do ask for protection where they are. And I ask that protection from the evil one." Jesus didn't say, "Oh, protect them. Let's just remove them from this." I want to touch on one other thing. Well, we'll get there in a minute, I guess. He did say in verse 12, "Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition." When you look back in the scriptures, it says Judas was there and he betrayed Jesus. And it says he never really was with him. And churches get so upset and think, oh, this person or that person did this or left or whatever. And I'm thinking, man, Jesus walked around with a group of 12 and had one of those little rascals betray him. Why in the world would I think he'd give me a church of perfect human beings, let alone give the church a perfect leader? No. No. In verse 20 through 26, Jesus prays for the believers. So he's taking time to pray for himself. He's prayed over the disciples. And now he's praying over the believers. Verse 22, he says, "And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." I'm going to read that one more time, that last part. "That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Now he goes on to say in verse 24, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known you that you sent me." But listen to verse 26. It says, "And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them." It's very hard for us to love one another if we feel unloved. It is very hard for us to love one another if we have been unloved. And maybe we have been loved and then unloved. And maybe we just feel like we were never loved. And that's why I focus on this. "And I declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." His love is already in you. When you became His love entered you. His love for you was always there, actually. It was always there. But His desire is that you know and recognize and acknowledge His love for you. And then you can pass that on as well. I'm going to flip back real quick in Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37 through 39. And it's the great commandment. And it says, actually in verse 34, I'll go back, and it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus responded and said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" He makes it pretty clear. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love Him. But then love your neighbor as yourself. And we have to go back here and say, oh, wait a minute. Jesus prayed and said, "I pray that the love that you had for me is in them." And that's the love that He wants us to share with our neighbor. We're going to prepare for baptism here in just a minute. If you would get ready for that, go ahead and come on forward for baptism. And as we close, I want to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 22. And it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And it goes on to say, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. But listen to this. Abstain from every form of evil." Okay, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And this has got to be the second. Two words. Rejoice always. And we just talked about, during the Advent season, about hope and joy and love and peace. And then it goes on to say, pray without ceasing. And then when you're faced with the things that you come up with, work and life and bills and cars breaking down, love turning to unlove in the world sense. He says, pray without ceasing. He says, when you come across those things, when we face uncertainty, when we face disease or tragedy, illness, fear, worry, all those things that we can spend all this time going, "Oh Lord, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do?" He says, "Man, I've got this. Oh, by the way, quit facing that alone. Turn that into prayer. Come to me. And let's talk about it, you and I." Now he's going to say, "Hey, listen. When I give you the answer, you've got to listen to me and accept that answer." Because he doesn't expect us to run off and pout because he said no. We do that. We focus on what we don't have rather than the things that we do have. And he says in his word, he says, "Man, come and test my word. Question my word. Come to me and look at these things. Test all things," in verse 21. "Test all things. Hold fast what is good." And after you've tested and questioned and asked your questions, then I expect you to do it. He asked us today to pray. And he asked us to pray for ourselves. Pray for our leaders. Pray for each other. We're going to have the opportunity a week from tomorrow and Tuesday to come together here at Prayer of Faith and come up to church and pray. And we're going to pray about whatever you want, but specifically we're going to pray over Mark Caldwell in those 2 days. And Mark's going down for surgery 15th and 16th. Do I have the right days? That Monday and Tuesday. And depending on what they find will depend on how long he's gone. Now, he's not going to be up here for us to pray over him. But we're going to pray over him up here at church. And we'll get that information out to you. And we can pray for many other things. We have many other things that have happened and that will be happening. Surgeries that have happened in the church body. Surgeries that are coming up. And we want to pray over those people. And we want to pray for those things. We want to pray for those outcomes. And on those two nights, we're going to come and join together as a church body. We're going to pray over Mark and Jan. We're praying over Mark's body, but we're praying over Jan. Because nobody goes through that alone. And as a church body, I believe he calls us to a greater commitment to one another in 2018. At this time, Andrew, are you ready? All right, I'm going to move out of the way. Would someone get the... the children's church. Bring them. Okay, they're coming in. Someone's getting them. Okay, get them. And then we'll, when Andrew's done, we'll close in prayer before we dismiss after the baptism.
All right. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, anyone who be in Christ, he is a new creation. And behold, I have made all things new. And I'm here today to tell you, this young man is a new creation. He accepted Christ down at Falls Creek. And we just a little explanation. Down at Falls Creek, we have our family groups. And in our family groups, on Tuesday morning, I said, we asked our students, you know, why did you come down here to Falls Creek this week? And this young man said, I came down here to know Jesus. And Tuesday night, you know, we had the praise and worship, we had the sermon, and they had the altar call. And I was getting ready to walk down to the front to help kids receive Christ. And I look over, and here he goes down the aisle. A man. And I tell you what, and since that moment, he has been a changed man. I don't even think he's missed a Wednesday night. And he is up there every week, raising his hands, praising God during worship. And it is just awesome to me. It's just awesome. Aaron, have you received Jesus?
Yes.
All right. Well, Aaron, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man,
Aaron, do you have any words that you want to share with us?
I'm ready to be reborn.
Ready to be reborn. Amen. All right.
Sounds cool.
We just rejoice in that. I appreciate seeing you just praying over that real quick. I appreciate that. When he gets done and gets dried off, by the way, that water isn't freezing. It's very nice, very warm up there. But when he gets done drying off and comes out, take a minute just to congratulate him. That is just a great deal. And to see our young people do that, it's fantastic. So it's good to have him here and have his family here to see that as well. They don't live nearby, by the way. So when Andrew says he's here every week, that's a bit of a drive they come for that. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate those of you that it's not a close drive as well. Yeah, let's bow our heads and pray as we dismiss today. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice today. We rejoice in this baptism we've experienced today. Lord, we ask you just to lift up Aaron and his future. Lord, we ask you to bless his family and his brothers and his parents. Lord, just that you would touch them, that this would just ignite them as well. Lord, we thank you for that. We desire for him to be a light, now a walking beacon for you, to tell people about you. Lord, as we go into 2018, just help us to be drawn closer to you and closer to one another. Help us to have a servant heart that says we want to serve others. We want to serve you in whatever we can do, but we want to serve one another. Lord, help us just take time to gather in fellowship with one another. Lord, we just ask you to be with those that have had surgeries, that those that are facing surgeries in our congregation, Lord, that you lift them up, that you're already doing a healing work in their bodies right now. Lord, that you would be with the doctors and nurses and all those in charge of their care. As the ultimate physician, Lord, that you have it under control. We turn it over to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place each and every day. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. You're going to be here, but we invite you. We want you to be welcomed into this place today. Lord, help us as we go out this week now, our actions towards one another and our words towards one another, Lord, that they both be reflective of you and your love for us and your will for us in your eyes. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.